I'm Mark, married to Helen, and one of the members of the Global Partners Group. If you're here this morning, Tara was speaking, and the whole theme of this morning's service was on short-term mission. Tara was also offered water and a small packet of raisins, and I'm looking here, and I'm looking for my raisins. The water's here, but there's no raisins. She must have taken them. I wonder if you can put the first slide up. And then the next one. You'll probably recognize this straight away. And I'm sure a lot of you have spent a lot of your time going around in this circle in Glasgow. Now, it's not particularly complicated. You know, if you're getting the train through to Glasgow and you get off at Queen Street and you walk to Buchanan Street, and say you're going to the West End, up to Hillhead, and you just jump on the train. And if you get it wrong, though, you've just got a few more minutes on the train to go round the long way round, and you'll get there. It's not that difficult to find your way on the Underground in Glasgow. But if you compare it to London Underground. I used to commute across London, and even for someone who's spent some time there, it's very complicated. And there's all these announcements that the central line's broken down, please make alternative arrangements, and then you have to work out another way to do your journey. I heard a story of a businessman who arrived in Heathrow, and he got onto the Underground, travelling into the centre for a meeting. And he had one of these diaries where at the back of the diary is a map of the Underground. And he was trying to navigate with his diary through the Underground to get to his destination. And he had his suitcase with him. And as the train slowed down at the platform, and he could see the platform named, he would get up to go out and exit the train. And then as it slowed down, he could read the name, and he realized that it wasn't his station after all, and he'd sit down again. And this kept on happening. And a fellow passenger noticed that this was happening, that the man was getting quite distressed, that he couldn't find his station. And he sat beside him and said, you show me your diary and your map, and I'll see if we can help get to your destination. And as soon as he did that, he realized what the problem was. The man was on the London Underground. The back of the diary was the Paris Metro. Using the wrong map, you're going to get lost. God has given us a map for our lives through his word, scripture, and we'll get hopelessly lost if we try to use an alternative, if we try to navigate with something else or someone else's map. As we come to look at these passages, I really like is to see how this theme of mission runs right through Scripture. Let's just pause to pray. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come, to hear, to be in your presence. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be called to serve in your mission. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts and our minds. Pray that you'll help us to move forward in our walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have experience of some form of short-term mission? Just pop your hand up. So it's probably about a third of you have been involved in some form of mission. When we think about short-term mission, we can often think it's a bit like a Christian gap year. You know, those who want to have a good time go off and do some traveling, and the really keen Christians go on some form of short-term mission. And we can have that misconception that it's really for the hardcore, for the really keen Christians. It's a kind of optional extra of for those who are really super committed. But the fulfillment of God's mission runs central to the Scripture. And it's a theme that runs right through the length of the Bible. We read these verses in Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. I'm sure we would all say that we want to know God's blessing in our lives and to experience what it is for God's face to shine upon us. But that desire that we are blessed is not an end in itself. It's so that, verse 2, so that your way may be known on the earth. These verses that the psalmist sings in 67 are an echo from when Aaron prayed for the people in Numbers chapter 6. I'll just read those verses from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And these words are echoing earlier words when God establishes and makes his mission statement to Abraham. He calls Abraham, and through Abraham and Sarah forms what will be the people of God. And when he calls Abraham, he's saying to him, leave your country, your people, your father's household, go to the land I'll show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And the purpose of Abraham being blessed is, again, that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And that theme carries down through Scripture. Abraham and his family are called, blessed by him, so that they might be a channel of God's blessing to the nations, that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And that promise, which is given thousands of years ago to Abraham, was carried by the people of Israel, carried by Jesus and the church, and has been transmitted through the ages to us now. Promise is so important that even in Genesis alone, it's repeated six times, this promise. And we are both the fulfillment of that promise and the continuing means that God uses to extend his blessing to the peoples, to the nations. And I'd like us just to briefly consider three aspects of our calling, that we're called to mission. That we're called, firstly, to a journey. And I'll spend a little bit more time on this first point, so don't worry when I get to point two or three. We're called to serve, and that we're called to give. So firstly, that we're called to a journey. Abraham was called to leave his home and to go to the land that God would give to him. And the same dynamic of being called to move forward in obedience continues and is built in to being a Christian. God the Father so loved the world that he sent his Son. And that sending continues. Jesus calls us to himself and he sends us out into the world. After the resurrection, when Jesus first appeared to the disciples, and he sends them into the world, he says to them, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Integral to being a disciple is to be sent by God into the world. This dynamic continues with us, that we can't stand still as a Christian. To follow Christ is to reject the status quo for our lives. And the outworking of that in our corporate life and in our individual lives is that it leads us to engage with the world rather than to turn into isolation and separation from the world. God moves us and sends us out into his world. Now, for some of us, responding to that sending, it will mean getting involved in short-term mission. And our faith develops and becomes more real when it's tested by our witness to the world. For all of us, being a Christian is to embark on an unknown journey. An exciting journey, but a journey which is unknown. It's not about keeping the same seat warm each Sunday after Sunday. And some of you, in response to God's calling and God's sending, will go to the ends of the earth. Quite soon after I had finished studying at university, I joined a Christian organization called Operation Mobilization and worked with them on the ship, the Doulos. And so for a year and a half, I was sailing in Southeast Asia and in many of the small South Pacific islands. It's a great place for swimming, great place for snorkeling, great weather. I don't know why I went there, but an added benefit. And we visited some really spectacular places. It's a picture of Solomon Islands here. On the ship, there were about 300 young people and from about 40 different nationalities. And as we sailed from country to country, it really opened my eyes to see how God had enabled the faith to spread worldwide and how people in many different countries express through their culture and through their traditions, express their belief and their following of Christ. I come from stayed in a traditional Scottish Baptist church. I won't mention any names. And I remember Sunday mornings, if you're really brave, you might occasionally clap your hands. But that's about as exciting as it would get in a Sunday morning for us. And it was a real eye-opener for me being on the ship and sailing into places like the Solomon Islands. And when we arrived at the quayside, congregations from several local churches had gathered together. There was a band leading a procession, singing and dancing, people with grass skirts on, and Christians had been up through the night making these garlands of flowers. And as we came down from the ship onto the quayside to join them and be welcomed by them, we'd get this garland of flowers around our neck, and the smell of the fragrant flowers would stay with us through our time there in the Solomon Islands. On some of the longer voyages that we made, I would sometimes go up onto the bridge of this ship, and occasionally have opportunity to steer the ship. I've got no naval background whatsoever. I'm a dentist by training. But it was just quite interesting for me to be able to get up onto the bridge of the ship and have opportunity to steer the ship. And we have in our mind these images, maybe through films like Titanic. You see this big, huge wheel. If you go on to the next slide. And we have this kind of historical image. This is how you steer the ship, by pulling in this big wheel. And it's actually much smaller than that. In modern ships, the Doulos is quite an old ship, but even for the Doulos, the wheel used to steer the ship is quite a small steering wheel. It's almost just like the size of a car steering wheel. This isn't in the Doulos, but it's a similar kind of image. And it only takes very small hand movements to move the ship. It's a huge, thousands of tons ship, but it only takes a very fine movement to move it along when it's going in the ocean. But it's a much different story when the ship's tied up at in berth in harbour. And to get the ship moving away from the quayside, you can't do that just with the steering and just with the engines. It takes these tugboats to come along. And with huge ropes, big engines, they can very slowly pull the ship away from the quayside. And that, thinking about that, it just reminded me of the same principle applies in our lives. That if we're moving forward as Christians, then God can gently nudge us. God can gently correct the direction we're moving in and maneuver us in the right direction. But if we're stuck as Christians, if we're not moving forward, it takes much more effort to move us and to direct us and to get us going. Are we responding to God's prompting and directing to move forward? Or are we unable to respond? Are we stuck and unable to move forward? Helen and I spent several years living in India. And with three young children and grandparents, keen to see them back home. Every couple of years, we would come back. And it became a bit of a ritual when it came to packing, trying to get what you needed down to 20 kilograms for the few months you were back in the UK, or taking things back that we couldn't get in India for the children. And nights before we were due to leave, our suitcases looked something like this, and we'd be sitting on them and getting the children to sit on them as well, trying to compress them down and take them to the scales, and realizing it was too heavy, had to take some more stuff out and get them down to the 20 kilograms. To be on the move simplifies our life. That it makes us face choices that we can't take everything with us. What's true physically is also true spiritually. That being called to move forward with God, the dynamic of being sent by God into the world, should simplify our life. To respond to God's sending requires us to make spiritual choices. What's essential? What really has to come with me? And what's secondary? What can be left behind? What will slow me down and tie me down as a Christian? Are there things which are tying us down, preventing us from moving forward? So we're called to a journey, and we're called to serve. For Israel, it was often the case that the people wanted God's blessing, but not the responsibility that came with that blessing. To know God's blessing, but to keep themselves uncontaminated from the surrounding nations. To know that they were chosen, that they were the apple of God's eye. That brought with it the temptation for smugness and a temptation for separation. Israel, as the elect of God, were often tempted to think of themselves as in some way superior to the nations around them. But it was for service that Israel was chosen, to be a light to the nations. And Israel experienced God's blessing in as much as they are a channel for God's blessing to flow through them to the nations. For Israel and for the church, there's often that danger, the temptation of isolation, to cut ourselves off from the world. But it's really in engagement with the world that we know and sense God's presence and are equipped for witness. As for Israel, so too for the church. The church does not exist for its own benefit, but for the blessing of those who are outside of it. Christ has called you as a Christian to bless you so that his ways may be known on the earth, his salvation among all nations. And I would argue that the degree to which we experience God's blessing in our church life and in our individual and family lives is linked to how true we are to our calling to be God's means of blessing the nations. Maybe you think you're not really making much progress as a Christian. And recently I've been really challenged by Alistair's sermons in January, in the Sunday mornings, about being stuck in a rut and not progressing in our faith. For a lot of Christians, our faith can be quite routine, and we can just plateau, reach a certain level, and then not really progress beyond that. Nothing much really challenges us or stretches us. If you really want to grow in your faith, I would encourage you to really seriously consider short-term mission, to get out of your comfort zone and to exercise your faith in a context and in a culture which is quite new to you and will really challenge you and enable you to grow. And by seeking to bless others, you will be a channel to receive God's blessing afresh in your own life. So we're called to a journey, we're called to serve, and finally, we're called to give. Jesus says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Mission is the reason for the existence of God's people. This universal goal that God gives through Abraham of blessing all nations would be achieved through this particular historical means, through you. God declares his commitment to bless the nations through a particular people. The primary agent of mission is the people of God. And that challenges us to assess our own faith. Is it too self-centered? Is it too focused on me and my walk with God? Is it just about my self-fulfillment, seeking God's blessing for myself? Or are we really open to being a means of blessing for others that God is calling us to? Taking part in mission, whether it's short-term or long-term, it's not primarily done to better ourselves, for our self-development. It's not done with the motivation that we're going to help others and help those who are less fortunate than we are. We take part in mission because we're fulfilling God's calling in our lives. And in so doing, we align ourselves with God's purposes, enabling us to be a means of blessing to the nations as we receive God's blessing and it pours out of our own lives. If your only experience of Christianity has been Scottish or British church life, I'd really encourage you to seek out the opportunity for short-term mission in another culture. We can tend to default and think, well, mission's really, the short-term mission is just for young people or just for students. But there's opportunities for families and opportunities for those who are about to retire or have retired. And Helen's put some details on the Stirling Baptist website on current opportunities that are linked with our global partners. When Helen and I taught at Bible College in India, there was a couple there who had taken retirement, a British couple who had taken early retirement, and they would go for several weeks each year to teach in the college. In many ways, they were really quite inspirational for us, that rather than enjoy the comfort of retirement, and they chose what at times was quite hardship for them in traveling back and forward to India, struggling through some health problems, and continuing to do that through their 60s and then on to their 70s and now nearly to their 80s. They still continue to go back and forward, and quite inspirational that they're still doing this and still having a significant input into the lives of Indian students and church leaders in India. And when you ask them about why they're doing it, they say that they receive so much, their lives are so enriched by what they are able to do, how they're blessed so much more than what they ever give. The vision statement for Stirling Baptist Church, looked at recently in the gathering, says that in the commitment that we seek, we want everyone to serve locally, to witness regionally, and to engage globally. Now, I've mentioned that we can engage globally by going on short-term mission. But maybe right now you know that's just not the right thing for you. You're just not at the right place to do that, or there's just not that opportunity. How else can we then engage globally? As a first step, I would really encourage you to get to know a Christian from another part of the world. And I don't mean England or Ireland, but beyond United Kingdom. Stirling Baptist is a big church, and there's several people worshipping with us from other countries. Or maybe you know a Christian that you're working beside or studying beside. And I'd encourage you to seek to develop friendship with this person. And through that friendship, to ask the Lord, how can you engage globally? How can I pray for the church in the country where my friend comes from? Is there a way that I can support the Christians there? Then maybe later on, opportunity might actually go to visit, opportunity might come to go and visit that country. So in conclusion, we looked at how we are called to a journey. Are we moving forward in our faith? Are you responsive to God's prompting, his gentle nudge? What's he saying to you about mission? Mission lies at the very heart of God's purposes for the world and for his church. And if we're in tune with God, it will therefore also be a high priority for us. What place does mission have in your life? We're called to serve. Are we being self-centered in our faith? Is it all about me and receiving God's blessing? The way to be blessed is to allow ourselves to be a channel of blessing to others. How open are we to serving others? And we're called to give. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What measure are you using when you come to God and ask him to bless you and ask him to fill your life? How big is the cup that you have in your hand? Is it just like a tiny thimble, like one of these little communion cups? Or do we come with a huge beaker expecting God to pour his blessing into our lives? Do we come with huge expectations when we come and ask of God? Let's pray together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Lord, thank you that you want to do that in our lives. And Lord, I pray that in a fresh and a new way, you will do that this evening. That you will pour out your blessing upon us. And that your blessing will spill out through us to the world. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Amen.